Thank you for tuning into the Monocle Dynasty Podcast, where we keep an eye on Dynasty football. Your hosts dive deep on players, rankings, strategies, and much more. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Monocle Dynasty. And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the Monocle, where we keep an eye on Dynasty football. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A, and today I'm going to be covering some second-year wide receivers, so wide receivers from the 2021 class. I did something similar with the 2021 QBs recently and wanted to continue on with that series. I'm happy to be back in your ears talking about Dynasty football. And if you have any ideas for me or, you know, anything you want me to talk about, let me know. People talk all the time about how second-year wide receivers are generally the ones that take the biggest leap. It used to be that third-year wide receiver, but really, I don't know if that was at some point the case or if it was just always a myth or what it was. But more recently, you know, analysts like Peter Howard or J.J. Zachariasen have talked about how it's really the second year where they take that next step into becoming a stud or, you know, becoming better, becoming who they're going to become as a wide receiver, most likely. Obviously, there's rare chances or smaller chances of third, fourth, fifth, and sixth year breakouts, but each year that goes by, the percentage dwindles and, you know, the opportunity for them to actually break out lessens. So we're really going to focus on these second-year wide receivers here and see if we can figure out who we think are truly going to break out. Obviously, there's some easier ones like Ja'Marr Chase, but then, you know, there's some other ones that we can get into that are maybe more in the middle where we don't truly know, you know, whether they're going to break out or if they're always going to be like a wide receiver three, wide receiver four kind of player, that kind of deal. So today we're going to be talking about, in no particular order, Devontae Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jaylen Waddle, Rashad Bateman, Nico Collins, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, and Kadarius Toney. I also threw Justin Jefferson into the mix just so that we'd have somebody to compare to. And basically, I'm going to be looking, or I'm going to be explaining to you, all the most important metrics that I look at when it comes to wide receivers. And so the first few are going to be looking at more of like the opportunity, whether it's getting on the field, things like target share, air yards, like that kind of thing. And then we'll be getting into more of efficiency and those kind of things a little bit later on in the pod so we can really figure out who these players are. So starting out, the most important thing for a wide receiver is the ability to get on the field, to be running routes for their team. And so we're looking at the route percentage for each player. Obviously, there's factors like injuries, maybe certain players are buried in a depth chart, you know, things like that. So it's not always a clear-cut thing, but I think it also gives us a view into if the player can gain more value or gain more opportunity by possibly getting onto the field more. But at the same time, it could just be that they're not necessarily doing enough to get onto the field. While it's not going to explain everything, I do think it's important to look at. And what we see is the top two in Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase are up in the 90% range, with Devontae Smith at 93.7 and Ja'Marr Chase at 91%. Justin Jefferson was at 90.8. So you have those three in that top range. Then we have a secondary tier here, and it's Amon-Ra, Jaylen Waddle, and Rashad Bateman at 81.4, 81.1, and 77.6% route participation rate. Then we have a smaller tier of Nico Collins and Elijah Moore at 68.6 and 65.7%. Obviously, we know that Elijah Moore dealt with injuries, and so that can explain that for him. And then we have Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, and Kadarius Toney all in the lowest range at 48.2, 47.6, and 44.5% respectively. So they were not earning targets, or I'm sorry, they were not earning opportunity. They weren't getting onto the field like we would hope to see from a wide receiver. And, you know, with some of the hype that Kadarius Toney's gotten this offseason, I know he dealt with injuries as well. But when you start thinking about 44%, that's pretty low. That's pretty bad. So it just kind of shows you maybe there was more going on than just injuries, because he played in quite a few games that he just wasn't really earning routes. He wasn't getting onto the field. Now, the next thing I look at is called WOPR, W-O-P-R, and that's a weighted opportunity rating. And for wide receivers, it's a combination of target share and air yards. So basically, it's looking at how often is a player earning targets, and then also, are they receiving a lot of air yards in the offense? Because we know that air yards are predictive of real yards. And so we want to see, you know, who are the players getting the most of both? Some people focus really heavily on target share, and, you know, I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter or wherever, and, you know, that's all they care about is target share. And that's great. I mean, it's true that the best players are going to earn targets, but there's other factors involved. And I think when you combine the two into WOPR with the air yards and the target share, that you really get a better idea of who the player is and how much they're truly earning what they're getting. So no surprise here, but Justin Jefferson is at the top at 0.73 for WOPR. Then we have Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle at 0.63, 0.59, and 0.54. Then we have Elijah Moore and Amon-Ra St. Brown at 0.48 and 0.45. And I'm just popping in my head that, you know, it might not sound like major differences here. When you're talking about a 0.73 is the top. That's the top tier of guys in the NFL. You know, those are your elites of the elite. You know, your Davante Adams, your Justin Jefferson, your Cooper Kupps. Those are the guys that are going to be up in the 0.7 range. 0.63 for Ja'Marr Chase is pretty damn amazing for a rookie. You don't see that all too often, but that's like the extremely good range. Maybe not the truly elite, but the very, very good range. Same thing with Devontae Smith getting a 0.59. I mean, he's right up there. Jalen Waddle was a little bit lower, but, you know, that was more maybe of a factor of the actual offense, where his ADOT was really low. And so obviously he doesn't have as much in air yards. He had a good target share. He was being targeted heavily, but he wasn't being targeted down the field. Elijah Moore and Amon-Ra St. Brown are kind of in that middle tier, you know, the 0.4s, where they're what I would consider good wide receivers. They're not being uber targeted. They're not getting all of the air yards or anything like that, but it's definitely good enough. I mean, you can see players in the wide receiver 2, maybe the wide receiver 3 range, in that range. And then getting lower than that, Rashad Bateman, Kadarius Toney, and Nico Collins at 0.37, 0.33, and 0.31. And then Rondell Moore at 0.24. Once again, we know with Rondell that he had no ADOT. I mean, he actually had a negative ADOT, so it's kind of crazy. But he also was not earning targets all that often. So, you know, anything in that range, that 0.3, 0.2, not something you want to see. And then Terrace Marshall at 0.15. Yeah, dude's not good. So now we've looked at the route participation rate, the WOPR. We know, can they get onto the field? And then are they earning targets and air yards when they're on the field? But the next thing I look at for opportunity-wise is red zone targets per game. And, you know, basically, those are some of the best targets that you can receive, are those red zone targets, because obviously if you're in the red zone and you're being targeted, you have a better chance of scoring a touchdown, which is what we want. Once again, Justin Jefferson is at the top at 1.44 red zone targets per game. Jalen Waddle is next at 0.93. Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman at 0.73 and 0.69. Ja'Marr Chase and Rondell Moore at 0.63 and 0.57. Kadarius Toney, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra, Devontae Smith, all in the 0.5 range. 0.5, 0.46, 0.45, and 0.44. And then Terrace Marshall at 0.23. So we're seeing a trend here with Marshall. But while none of these are really bad, I mean, they're all decent. Chase is probably a little bit surprising for people considering the amount of touchdowns he scored and all that. But if we think about how he scored those touchdowns, a lot of them were on big plays. So he kind of took away his opportunity to get red zone targets by having those huge plays. But he's still up there, you know, near the top, or at least in the middle. Bateman is kind of surprising. Elijah Moore, you know, those are two guys that you might not necessarily think of being like red zone targets, at least with Elijah Moore, but there he is, you know, up at the top. And then kind of the same thing with Jalen Waddle, although he was being targeted so heavily that it's not very surprising that he would be up near the top. So now we're starting to get a, you know, pretty decent idea of who these players are and at least how they're scoring their points, or at least how we assume they're going to score their points. So now let's go ahead and look at one of the most predictive metrics in the game, and that is fantasy points. Past fantasy points predict future fantasy points very well. So we can go ahead and I bet you can guess who's going to be at the top here. It's J. Jeff at 19.6. Not very surprising. Jamar Chase is right behind him, though, at 18.8. Chase just had an unbelievable rookie season. Amazing. Jalen Waddle kind of in a tier of his own here at 15.6. And then we have a range of three with Elijah Moore, Amon-Ra, Devontae Smith at 12.7, 12.6, and 11.2. And then we have Rashad Bateman, Rondell Moore, and Kadarius Toney at 9, 8.2, and 8.2. Nico Collins at 5.7, and then Terrace Marshall at 2.5. Now we can expect certain players to take a step forward, or even all of these players to take a step forward from where they were last year, and rightfully so. But I think we're starting to see the kind of ranges that we can expect from these players. You know, I don't expect a Kadarius Toney to all of a sudden be a Jalen Waddle or a Jamar Chase, you know, and same thing with Rondell Moore. You know, I think they're going to be lower level players that even if they do take a step forward to where they could be a wide receiver three or wide receiver four, you know, I don't think they're ever going to be anything special. I guess we'll wait and see what actually happens, but that brings us into some more of the efficiency metrics here. So the next one is called RACER, R-A-C-R. And it's basically looking at the amount of air yards that you're getting, you know, per like the Whopper rating, and then how efficient you are in turning them into real yards. Now, this metric isn't all about the wide receiver. Obviously, we could have a really bad QB that's giving really bad targets. And, you know, so a wide receiver is just not going to be able to turn those air yards into actual yards or real yards. But I think it can kind of show us how much of an opportunity we think there is for growth or development. You know, if they're already like Jalen Waddle's at a one is a very good grade. It's not the highest, but it's a very, very good grade. We're not going to expect him to be much more efficient if everything were to stay the same. Whereas you have guys like Elijah Moore and Devontae Smith at a 0.6 and a 0.63, that's pretty low. And if you look at both of them, they both had a lot of uncatchable targets, or their catchable target percentage was pretty low. Now sometimes it can be the player. You know, if the player is just not very efficient, then they're not going to show up well, regardless of how many catchable targets they're getting, you know, catchable air yards, all that kind of stuff. But one that truly stands out here is Rondell Moore had a 5.16 RACER. Now remember, I said that Jalen Waddle at a one was pretty damn high. That's about where you would assume that like a really good wide receiver would be. To put it into context, Justin Jefferson was at a 0.77. So he could have even been more efficient than he was, which is kind of scary. But, you know, that's why we love J. Jeff. But Rondell Moore was at a 5.16. So he was extremely efficient with everything that he was doing, but he also didn't have any air yards. So that's going to, that's obviously why we're going to see such a crazy number. He was putting up a lot of yak and a lot of earning a lot of yards himself. While he wasn't actually earning much on the opportunity side, he was doing a good amount with it. So, I mean, that's one thing to look at, but, you know, that's definitely not the entire story. But we see Kadarius Toney and Amon-Ra St. Brown and then Jalen Waddle up in the one range, 1.24 for Toney, 1.06 for Amon-Ra, and then one for Waddle. You know, I really wouldn't expect them to do much more efficiency-wise, at least turning air yards into real yards, than what they did. Jamar Chase and Rashad Bateman at 0.89 and 0.85, you know, they're probably right around where they should be. And then Justin Jefferson and Nico Collins at 0.77 each. And then Terrace Marshall, Devontae Smith, and Elijah Moore at 0.65, 0.63, and 0.60. So that's where we'll probably need to go in and see, you know, how many of those catchable targets did they have? You know, how easy was the ability to turn those air yards into actual yards? And then the next one I look at is fantasy points per touch. And it's basically a good way of seeing, even if a guy didn't necessarily have a large sample size of, with Elijah Moore, you know, where he had some issues with staying healthy, staying on the field, we can still see when they were on the field, what were they doing per touch? You know, it's just a good way of looking at, once again, the efficiency of the player. And if they were to get more touches, you know, would that turn into becoming a superstar or just a good player or not at all? So at the superstar level, we have Jamar Chase at 3.5 fantasy points per touch. Unbelievable. And something we would probably expect to come down a little bit, honestly. We'll get into touchdown rate here next. And, you know, that might explain why his fantasy points were as high as they were. We have J. Jeff next at 2.9 fantasy points per touch. And also Devontae Smith at 2.9 as well. And then we have Elijah Moore at 2.8. We have Nico Collins at 2.5. And then we have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jalen Waddle, and Rashad Bateman all at 2.3. Kadarius Toney at 2. Terrace Marshall at 1.9. And Rondell Moore at 1.5. So as we get into the touchdown rate, you know, some of the fantasy points per touch might be explained a little bit. Like Kadarius Toney has a 0% touchdown rate. Even if we add in some touchdowns, you know, assuming that he had more of a normal rate, it's not going to bring the fantasy points per touch up to 2.9 or anything like that, like a Justin Jefferson or Devontae Smith, or 3.5 range like a Jamar Chase. So we can explain it away a little bit, but at the same time, you know, we can still see that he wasn't really earning points all that well. Same thing with Terrace Marshall and obviously Rondell Moore as well. Now, they all had lower, really all of the guys, the bottom half guys had lower touchdown rates. 3.3 for Nico Collins, 4.9 for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 5.1 for Jalen Waddle, 2.3 for Rashad Bateman. They all have room for growth. So, you know, being in that 2.3, 2.5 range isn't a death knell. I guess it just really depends on how much you expect them to take a step forward, get better luck, you know, with touchdowns, you know, things like that. Jamar Chase at the 3.5 fantasy points per touch has a 16.5% touchdown rate. The average is right around 8 or 9%. Some of the best touchdown scorers, you know, are closer to like 10, 11, 12%. And then you usually have some outliers per year that get up into the 16, 17, 18, and even 20% range. So while Chase isn't like ridiculous at 16.5%, we would probably expect it to come down a little bit at the very least. And, you know, the fantasy points per touch to come down a little bit as well. Now, all of those metrics, all of those numbers that we've looked at, the way that I do it is I throw it all into a model and I combine them and really get a good idea of who the players are, what kind of season they had. And then with the second year players, I combine it with their prospect scores from the prospect model just to see, did they way outproduce what was expected as a prospect, or, you know, or the complete opposite. And I really think that that gives us a good idea of who they are as a player and what we can expect from them moving forward. So just focusing on last season and not adding in the prospect score or anything like that, we see Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase fairly close to each other. J. Jeff's obviously better as far as the season average, but he was a second-year player. That's not very surprising. but Chase is right up there in that tier one as well. Then in tier two, we have Jalen Waddle all by himself. Then in tier three, we have Devontae Smith and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Although I'm kind of making these tiers arbitrarily, and they're not all that close. So you could kind of have them in like their own separate tiers, but we'll go ahead and combine them. Devontae and Amon-Ra. Elijah Moore's in a tier of his own. And then Rashad Bateman is in a tier of his own below that. Then you kind of have a three-person tier with Kadarius Toney, Nico Collins, Rondell Moore, and then you have Terrace Marshall all the way at the bottom tier, just completely terrible. Terrible season, terrible player. I've seen too many people talking about possibly getting back in on Terrace Marshall this offseason. It just makes me laugh every time. So then I combine that season average with the prospect score to get an idea of who they are as a second-year player and what we would expect from them. And so once again, we have Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase in the top tier all by themselves, a clear tier ahead of everyone else. Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith in the second tier, pretty close to each other. Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman in a tier by themselves. Amon-Ra St. Brown in a tier by himself, just a step below Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman. Rondell Moore, Kadarius Toney, and Nico Collins in their own tier. And then once again, Terrace Marshall all by himself, extremely way at the bottom. Now, I didn't want to confuse or bore people with the actual like final grades and all that kind of stuff because it's a scoring system that I created, so obviously it makes sense to me. It's probably not going to make sense to you. That's why I just wanted to couple them into tiers. But if you want to get an idea of or a better idea of what's going on and where they're graded and that kind of thing, you know, obviously all that stuff is on my Patreon, and you can see all of these grades, all of the scores, the model scores, and all that kind of stuff are all on the Patreon, all in shareable forms that you can easily get to, as well as my rankings and everything else that goes on. Speaking of the Patreon, I just updated my DFS or my DraftKings form or tool for the Patreon, and I'm really excited about it. I call it like the Stack Finder, whatever. Just a name that I quickly came up with, nothing crazy, but basically you choose a QB and then it shows you the stacking options and the run it back options, like from the other team, the opponent. And then you have the ability to pick and choose the players you want to keep. It keeps track of salary, remaining salary per player, that kind of thing. And then you add in your two running backs, and then it continues to keep track of the remaining salary and everything that you need so you can get the most efficient lineups for your DraftKings tournaments. And I'm pretty excited about it. I think that we're going to be winning quite a bit of money this year. And obviously it's something that I'm going to keep, you know, tweaking and working on as the season progresses, just making sure that it's doing as well as it can. But those are some of the things that you can check out on the Patreon. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. At this point, I'll probably be working my way to the running backs next, or you know, at least very soon. And then we're going to be getting into actual football here pretty soon. I know we've had some preseason games. People are losing their minds about certain players and everything. But yeah, I'm not going to freak out about week one of the preseason. So I'm not going to get too much into news or anything like that. But we can definitely be doing that here in a week or two. And hopefully we'll have a better idea of what all is going on. Appreciate you guys listening. I'll be back as soon as possible. Make sure you're checking out the Debbie Devotional Pod and the Full Tilt Debbie podcast that I'm on. And I'll be back as soon as possible. But for now, I'm cashing out.